I decided there hasn't been quite enough laughter so far, so I'm going to share. As the only CPA in the House of Representatives, I think it's okay if I share a few tax jokes. So, the 4th of July, 1776, that's when we declared our freedom from unfair British taxation. Then in 1777, we started our own system of unfair taxation. You really can't beat the game. If you earn anything, it's minus taxes. But if you buy anything, it's plus taxes. So we, of course, get you coming and going there. This is a really key statement for probably politicians. A slight tax increase costs you about $300, while a substantial tax cut lowers your taxes by about $30. Death and taxes are inevitable, but death doesn't repeat itself. So, so SB 38, I joked with Senator Stevenson that after the session was over, I was going to send him a bill for therapy. I haven't sent that bill yet. It's still in process. But it was I'd say a monumental piece of legislation. It did pass. It had four substitutes and at least one amendment. Not many bills that you see go through that kind of process. A couple interesting points, though. The bill passed Senate committee unanimously. It passed the House Education Committee unanimously. There's not many education bills that you can say that about. And it, on final passage, it passed the House 71 positive vote, yes votes, one no vote, and three absent. The Senate was 22, 2, and 5. So when you just look at the no votes, it actually passed with a 97% majority, bipartisan. Actually, more Republicans voted against it than Democrats. So some interesting statistics there. At the end of the day, though, we felt like we had broad support from district schools, from charter schools, and from a number of other education groups. It's important to note that the bill did not raise taxes. It was revenue neutral and actually put a tax freeze in place for about a year if districts were going to raise taxes and attribute it to this bill. The reason that language was inserted in the bill is that sometimes districts occasionally have raised taxes and given the legislature credit for it. Well, we really just didn't want the credit, did we, Howard? We wanted to deflect that. And the reality was, is based on the way the bill was structured, there would be absolutely no reason for a district to raise taxes. So the bill originated out of the Charter School Funding Task Force that myself and Senator Howard Stevenson co-chaired during the past year. And as we looked at all the formulas relating to how money is distributed to district schools and charter schools, we found that there were some areas that were creating some inequities. Now, is it possible to have complete equity between district schools and charter schools? That's very difficult to obtain because or achieve because there's such big differences between charters and districts when you drill into some of the anomalies. For instance, I was talking to a business administrator from San Juan District, and they had to spend a lot of money to drill a new water well and run 2 miles of pipeline. Not something that, somebody in Salt Lake District has to deal with. In San Juan District, you'll have students that ride the bus 2 hours each way to school. Again, not something that districts have to deal with. On the district side, I heard that Harriman High School decided to spend the money to put a jumbotron in their gymnasium, which, of course, is a local control decision, but that comes at a cost of other things, where charter schools don't generally, they have some sports programs, but generally don't have sports to the scope that, district high schools do. That's not an expense they would have to deal with. As we've talked about, some of the scope of buildings that district schools are building, they are extremely expensive and some would argue way over the top. However, they own their buildings. Charter schools typically have more modest buildings, but they may be renting those, and so there's no equity kind of appreciation there for taxpayers. And of course, charter schools don't have to deal typically with transportation. Kind of from the outset, that was something that if parents wanted their children to attend charter schools, they'd have to arrange that. However, despite all those differences, we decided, you know what, at the end of the day, there should be basic equity funding between district schools and charter schools. And when we divided up the formulas and tried to compare, do an apples-to-apples comparison as much as possible, we found that district schools were getting funded at a higher amount per pupil. So SB 38 attempted to level the playing field, and instead of kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, which attempts had been made before to fix this issue, new growth money was used to raise charter schools up approximately to the level of district schools. Now, this bill, which you'll hear about in just a minute, creates a new tax, but you might wonder how that's possible when I said it was revenue neutral. It's because it's basically a set of scales, and to the extent districts no longer have to collect the charter school tax, their property tax revenues are going to go down. But by an equal amount, there will be a new state charter levy that will go up by that same amount, and it will be distributed out to the charter schools. One of the reasons the district schools really liked SB 38 is that district schools no longer have to hold truth in taxation hearings and justify that part of their tax increase is going to charter schools where there is arguably not any fiduciary responsibility from an oversight perspective. So that will disappear, and districts don't have to worry about that, and the money will all be funded now at the state level. The interesting thing also is that it's going to be, as I mentioned, the districts cannot raise taxes as a result of this because, again, the money that they were collecting that they won't be getting anymore, they weren't keeping anyway. That was going out to charters. So that's a rough overview of the bill. Even though you'll see that new line item on your property tax revenue, be assured that your district revenue for charters will be going down by a commensurate amount. And going forward, one of the ingenious things about this bill is that the formula will stay the same. So if charter students go up in a particular district, then the revenues will also go up. And if they go down, it's the exact same formula as before, just a different mechanism. So having said that, I will turn the time over to our next speaker to discuss kind of the mechanism of that. It was an honor to be associated with a bill that we worked so hard on that we were able to build consensus with so many groups and achieve such widespread support. I actually checked with our fiscal analyst this morning from education and said, have there been any unintended consequences relating to this bill so far? And the answer was no. So I'm pleased to report that, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that's the way that it'll go. Thank you.